Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Our text for our message comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we are again at another, the most famous week in the church year, the story of the Passion, story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and his somber and depressing defeat on the cross, his glorious resurrection, and victory on the tomb as he opened it. You can't help but wonder and notice the mystery and the awe of this story. I think the only way not to be amazed by it is to simply not believe it's true. But I think for good reasons we devote a whole week to this story. It's because in this story contains all the foundations of our faith. That Jesus is our King, and that we have not received Him. And that yet He came to suffer and to die for us in the most unkingly way. And yet rose from the dead and lives and reigns as our King, forever and ever. One of the great mysteries, perhaps not mystery, but maybe just wonder that we have in this Palm Sunday, is that the crowds greet Jesus with loud hosannas, with palm branches, hailing him as their Messiah. Palm was a symbol of victory, sometimes on the Roman coins, as you can see in ancient pictures of the coins. Hailing him as their Savior, their Messiah, literally means, Hosanna, save us. You are the one who will save us. You are the one who will be our King and our Savior. And yet, with those shouts of hosannas, just a few days later, it would be shouts, crucify him. Crucify him. Can't help but wonder, what was it that caused these people to change so quickly and to see Jesus so differently in such a short time? I think one word summarizes that. The word is expectations. Though they had the right title for Jesus, though they had the right name, though they rightly called him King, the King that they expected was not the King he turned out to be. See very clearly that expectations are the most important thing that we can have in relationships. If the expectations are false, or if they are unmet, or if they are wrong, it will inevitably create conflict, distress, anger, disappointment, abandonment, at the worst. And we see this with our leaders today, too, right? How often do we see that our leaders fail to meet our expectations? So we complain, or we rebel. Or our presidents, who promise these expectations that we should have for them when they come into office, and then they don't fulfill these expectations. Or maybe we have the wrong ones. And so that when they do get elected, we are disappointed. Because we expected from them something that we shouldn't have. We often gravitate towards a king who looks like a king. Who looks successful, who looks famous, who's popular, who's wealthy, who has the crowd to cheer for them. And it's when the crowd is against your king, you see where your loyalties really lie. King Jesus in his passion, as we heard before, doesn't look like a king. He very much looks instead like a servant, a slave, a defeated warrior. People didn't expect a Messiah king to be bloodied and beaten on a cross. They expected their Messiah king to run into Jerusalem on a glorious horse and kick out the Romans and set up a kingdom for them on earth. Expectations. Unmet. False. Caused them to abandon their king. A short time later. Expectations. False. Unmet. Cause us to deny our king. In a short time. Cause us to doubt. Cause us to rebel against the king. Especially when the crowd is shouting for his crucifixion. His death. In the 20th century, famous philosopher Nietzsche said, "God is dead." And how so many people have believed that today. They shout for his death. They proclaim that he's not a king. Anything but. And they mock you, and they will mock you if they haven't, if you do declare and live as he is your king. And it seems today that the same weak Jesus on the cross is in the world, weak and helpless and defeated. And yet we know from Scripture, from the story of Jesus being our King, that his weakness isn't because he is weak. Jesus doesn't appear to be a weak King because he is in fact powerless or helpless, or that there is someone stronger than him. Jesus appears and allows himself to become weak because we were weak. We are the weak and helpless and powerless ones who have denied him and rebelled against him, and failed to see him in the right light. So we can learn to look at Jesus and the weakness of his cross and the beaten and bloody king and learn to still see him as our king. Because we know the right expectations. We know what to expect as we see a beaten and bloody Jesus. We expect him to rise again. We expect that on that cross, he took away the sins of the world, including yours and mine. And it is because he became weak that we expect now the strength that we have in Him. And because we see Him on the cross weak, we can expect that we too as Christians will be weak as we go into battle against the powers of darkness and those who shout for His death and those who deny that He is King. We can expect that His power too now in the world will be hidden in weakness as He works to reach people, to point people to the cross where there is only salvation and freedom and life and joyful submission. We can expect that they too will treat Christians the way they treated Christ. And yet we know that it doesn't mean anything that we would suffer for. We know that it doesn't mean that Jesus is too weak. We know that it doesn't mean that He is not the King, that He has forgotten us, He has forsaken us. We know that rather it means that Jesus uses weakness to demonstrate His power over death, over sin. Jesus uses weakness and demonstrates that His power is made perfect in weakness. In the weakness of allowing Himself to be beaten and crucified, Jesus shows His great power over the grave and over the devil and over the doubters and over the sinners. Any king can ride into battle with a great host behind him, with a strong bodyguard. It takes a strong and powerful king to ride into battle knowing the battle would take his life, knowing the reason he would be killed would be an innocent reason, knowing he would go into this horrific battle willingly, and that the hosannas would turn into shouts of crucifixion. Even Jesus knows what it's like to have the wrong expectations of God the Father. Surprisingly, even in this, He sympathizes and empathizes with us. As He cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In some mysterious way, even then, it was something he did not expect as he bore the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. We serve a king who is weak yet strong, a king who demonstrates his power in his weakness. A king who knows the suffering before him yet goes forward anyway for us. As it says in our reading from Isaiah, this is one of the suffering servant readings in Isaiah. It says in verse 5, the Lord opened my ear and I was not rebellious and I didn't turn backward. I gave my back to those who strike, my cheeks to those who pull out the beard, and I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. I let it happen. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, focused on the goal. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. For He who vindicates me is near. Jesus bore the disgrace, He bore the shame for us, and because He knew that one day He would be vindicated, one day it would be shown and declared that He is the King of glory, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that He is the Lord and the King. And that God, the Father, the Holy Spirit would be His helper and not leave His body to decay, but raise it up in great power and glory. So who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. Behold, the Lord helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment, and the moth will eat them up. It's a confidence in the Lord, knowing that He is our King, allows us to set our face toward Flint as Jesus did, toward the glory of Easter that awaits us. It says also about this King that He is able to sustain with a word those who are weary. In verse 4. The word He gives you today to sustain you in your weariness, in your doubts, in your rebellion, in your false expectations, and the ones that are unmet, and where you think it's God's fault and not your own, where He's not being the King that you want Him to be. The word He gives you is resurrection. The Lord God helps you. And help is a powerful word. It is a word of rescue. It is a word of deliverance. It is a word of salvation. And therefore, I have not been disgraced. Even though I am ashamed, even though I feel ashamed at times for being a Christian, and I feel ashamed for the sin in my life, I know trusting in Jesus as my King and Savior, I will not be ashamed. One day, I will be vindicated when Jesus returns. I will not be put to shame, but rather lifted up in glory in the resurrection of the dead. Because I know my Savior rose from the dead. So we can go out into the world, out into the weakness, facing our own weakness, facing the own weakness of Jesus working in the world with confidence. Knowing, as Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? If the King who bore the weight of the sins of the world suffered and died for us, what can man do to us? What suffering can bring us down? And if Jesus' death cleanses our sins, who will condemn us and who will declare us guilty? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. No one. See, God breaks our false expectations to give us the right ones. To give us a strong, enduring, joyful faith in Him as our only Savior and King. Lastly, I want you to think about, there's three questions that John Maxwell gives that everybody asks of a leader. It's, does He care? Can I trust Him? And can He help me? When suffering comes into our life and when our expectations aren't met, we ask those three questions of Jesus. And today, Jesus tells us all those questions can be answered in light of the cross and the empty tomb. Does He care? He died for you. Can I trust Him? He took upon your sins. He never turned back His face from the cross. Let the false accusations come. And today, His gospel story has stood the test of time. And he continues to prove trustworthy as we trust his word. Can he help me? He rose from the dead. Defeated that the strongest powers that exist cannot stop him. So whatever comes against your life, he has declared he is victorious over it. And so this week, we follow Jesus once again to the cross and to the empty tomb. There, he teaches us again what to expect of our King. And what to expect as his disciples. Teaching us that he is our King, our Savior, our suffering servant, who became weak for us. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.